Good morning, North State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Hey, our phone lines here are 605-4567. We're streaming at KCNR1460.com, and you got something you want to send to Linda, go to Linda at KCNR1460.com. It's 7:06 Friday morning. Yahoo! We made another week. At least we did. Bob, did you make another week?
Absolutely made another week. Had house guests last night, so this morning was a case of stepping over, you know, the folks between me and the door. And it was, but, of course, this is a great time of year to have guests up here because they think it's like this all the time, and they find out different in about 6 weeks.
Do you have a guest bedroom or do you have a blow-up bed?
We have a big fold-out, and, of course, the cats always love that. More bodies to
So, Bob, here's my big question.
Yes, sir.
Here's the most salient question of probably of the day, maybe even of the whole season is, where'd you get that multicolored shirt?
Oh, you like that, eh? That's my Friday shirt.
Well, it's, I tell you what, no coffee today.
Should I get you sunglasses?
No, I just won't even have coffee today. But speaking of bright, cheerful, and a sight for the eyes, here she is, Linda.
Good morning. Good morning. Today it's going to be a high of 78. Absolutely beautiful. Truthfully, I was running a little bit late. It's currently 40 degrees, but I was running a little late this morning, and I'm so glad to be behind the microphone. It's one of those days, women, haven't you ever felt that, where you can't get a roller out of your hair, or you can't find your keys, or it's just one of those, can't leave because the dog doesn't have food. But anyway, I want to bring to your attention. Anyway, it's a beautiful day. And you know what? When you say we survived another week, when you look at what's happened in our world, not just our country, but what's happened in our world. I mean, we could get really into it. There's just so many things to be grateful for that we're actually breathing and living and thriving and that we have this great opportunity that we do. Yesterday was a very big day, National Prayer Day. And, oh, my gosh.
Well, it was kind of a national prayer day.
Yeah, kind of. Some people.
Everybody except in the White House.
Yeah, and you know what's really interesting? When you look at your dollar bill, doesn't it still say under God?
Oh, let me see. Let's look here.
Check that out.
Okay, let me see. Friday, let me see.
In God We Trust, yes.
In God We Trust. In the back, underneath these.
In God We Trust.
Right.
And my gosh, and then the Pentagon not letting the Reverend Billy Graham's son preach after they invited him to because he said, oh, he might offend some Muslims, and I've got some.
Cool. Absolutely.
Thoughts on that later.
But before that, let's talk about this weekend and some of the events.
Absolutely. Happy events.
Yeah, happy events. May 8th and 9th, of course, is the Shasta Art Festival and Old Time Fiddle Jamboree. And that is going to take place at the Shasta Middle Creek Mining Camp. It's a new location. We do have $4 admission, some free passes here with coupons here at the station, which is right across from Old City Hall. But you don't want to forget that. That's a wonderful thing to take with your mom. Go support your artist with those dollar bills that say, In God We Trust. And then we do have, for sober graduation, you know, that's just an incredible thing. The senior class from Anderson High will earn, I'm thinking about the I and the dollar bill again. The senior class will earn 70% and that of the car sales as well as the bowling party. There's a bowling party May 8th from 3 to 5, and that's going to be at Anderson Bowl. And then there's a car wash somewhere in Anderson, too, that I can't really find that. But Anderson this weekend is the sober grad. So, but what do you have there?
Well, you know, the Safari Club International is having their dinner Saturday night. Just get a hold of them at Safari Club International. They're having a big thing. They're having the Swing Cats at the Art Hop this weekend down at the second Saturday Art Hop with Tapas Downtown. It's got a musical lineup with jazz guitar legend Mickey Jones and the local Groove Masters Mumblefinger playing at the Post Office Saloon. Mumblefinger. I always wonder how they find out where those names are. And it probably, I'm not even going to go there. Okay, Mother's Day, of course. You've got, you know, brunches at all these great places we're talking about. You know, Sierra Gibbs and Steakhouse. And, of course, out in Somos is having something big and special. Yeah, so, you know, there's all types of things going. Just remember, it's Mother's Day. And, you know, that's a special day to take mom or your bride out to Let her know how much you love her, and to feed her.
And don't wait.
Don't make her cook that day.
Well, that's true. And don't wait to the last minute. If you're taking a drive, that's one thing. But make your plan. If you're going to eat and have breakfast, like at the Country Kitchen, and the reason we say these places because these are the places we love to go. I mean, we frequent them often, and we know that places like the Country Kitchen, and we also welcome them as a brand new sponsor. But we've known them for 17 years since they've been in business, and there's just integrity, and we're all about supporting people, the local businesses that have gone through a hard economy, that are hanging in there. We need to support them with their In God We Trust dollar bill.
Well, the other thing, too, is that, if you, going to a local place, spending $15 or $20, if we all go do that, that's a big thing. And we're going to be talking about that effort here in the near future.
Now, today, we have a big lineup.
We do. We have the commander of the California Veterans of Foreign Wars, Jack Turner, is here. Doug LaMalfa is going to call at 8 o'clock. This whole week has been big as far as people we've had on, efforts that have been made to let our listeners know what each candidate stands for. Next week is going to be a big week, too. We have a lineup that's incredible. But we'll be talking about that later in the show. But right now, we've got to take a break. This is Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, Clearly News Talk Radio. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. It's 7:15 in the morning.
I just love it.
Our phone number here is 605-456. On this portion of the show, brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Now, today's Friday. We usually have a town hall meeting at noon today. We're not going to do that. We're having a big one next week. We've got a number of things running next week with a remote on the pancake breakfast. We've got, next week's town hall meeting is going to be about marijuana right here in River City. We've got growers, we got users, we got sellers. We're even going to have the American Civil Liberties Union there. So get a ticket early.
Get educated.
Come by.
Come and check out.
You want to smoke marijuana, that's fine, you're of age. You want to grow it as long as it doesn't intrude on your neighbors or other people in the business of doing other things besides growing marijuana. But all these things we're going to be talking about next Friday. The funny thing here on is this. When we had an hour show, we realized that, really, you can't hit everything in an hour because we've got so many things going on in our great town. And now we're in 2 hours, and we realize we still leave things out. Like Cinco de Mayo Day, okay? Cinco de Mayo Day was 2 days ago. And besides the fact that we did not get to celebrate by whooping it up, as we usually do. Other things happened. Other people were whooping it up. But here is my favorite. It appears that these five American kids in high school, they're all Americans. They say they're Americans. It was Cinco de Mayo, but it's not a typical day on the high school campus that they were on because they have a large Mexican-American student population. So while Gali says he and his friends were sitting at a table during a brunch break, when the vice principal asked two of the boys to remove American flag bandanas that they were wearing on their heads, and for the others to turn their American flag T-shirts inside out. When they refused, the boys were ordered to go to the principal's office and were sent home. Those T-shirts with the American flag were called incendiary. They would lead to fights on campus. Well, I have a problem with this in the sense that you're wearing an American flag in America on a high school campus and you can't wear it because it would enrage people because Cinco de Mayo is a Mexican national holiday, which, by the way, if you've ever been to Mexico, they don't really celebrate Cinco de Mayo. It honors a Mexican victory over the French army. I think that's where, the French Foreign Legion has a great big party that day because they got beat again. They've got two other major, holidays in the French Foreign Legion because when they all got killed. But that's neither here nor there. But it's not an American holiday. It's not an American holiday. People use it as an excuse to drink margaritas and whoop it up but it's not an American holiday. So I would think that, you know, and so the principal is showing a complete lack of, can we say, as long as we're saying Cinco de Mayo, cojones. So I don't understand. So the kids get sent home for wearing American flags because it's going to upset other Americans of Hispanic descent. I don't like that. Don't like it at all.
It
doesn't
think,
seem right.
I think we have a term that used to be thrown around, and it's, I hate to sound so crass, but get over it.
You know, this is America. This is, you know, the thing about it, and we're, you know, like I said, we're 2 days. I don't even want to spend the time on it, except for one thing. It's kind of indicative of what's happening to our country. Is that we're, are we getting so politically correct? Has anybody heard the word terrorist used for the Times Square bomber? They have tried to avoid it. People on those limp media channels are saying, oh, my God, I hope it's not a Muslim. I hope it's not Islamic. I hope that it's somebody else. I hope it's a white guy. You know, what's going on here, people?
Bob. The only time I heard the word terrorist was in a story when they thought they had the video of the middle-aged white guy changing his shirt. That's the only time the word terrorist showed up in
the
media.
Well, let me tell you, they were looking, everybody, every one of the media spots, where is this middle-aged white male?
Did they ever find out about him?
That was changing his sweat. You know what? He could have been Jim Bremmer, for all I know. You know, Jim, I don't know where Jim, I don't know if Jim was in New York that day, but he had a sweatshirt on, it's getting hot. Guess what he did? He takes it off. Oh, I'm a suspect in a bombing.
Did they ever find out about the white guy with the shirt, or was that just a distractor?
No, they didn't find out. Oh, and here's the other thing. Okay, this just came out, is that, oh, he acted by himself. He's a lone wolf. Oh, he had, his family ties were cut off. Let's feel sorry for him. He's a terrorist. He's a terrorist. Why do the police have him? Give him to the military. I think there's a spot in Guantanamo Bay for him. But here's the other thing. Oh, looks like they found a courier that had to bring the money in. Oh, and something else, too. I get an email, and it says, and they get it from, it's been released from New York, and it shows this is exactly what the terrorist did wrong when he set his bomb. Exactly what he did wrong. And I'm thinking, well, good. Let's make sure that we get those fixed next time you drive a SUV up in front of a movie theater with kids. Yeah, that's a great idea. Hey, you're going to have to take, you know what, this.
Are you mad?
Are you mad? Or do you think, I mean, this is so, so wrong. You know, our limp media is trying to protect this administration when you've got somebody in charge of Homeland Security who actually believes that they're doing a good job. This is the same woman that opened the floodgates in Arizona that now when Arizona is trying to fix that, they're being castigated by the same administration that hired the woman that let them in. There's something wrong here, my friends. There's something that smells. There is something absolutely wrong back in D.C. And there's something wrong with the media that just keeps portraying terrorists as being misunderstood. Carl Lindebach, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460.
Tax.
Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Our phone lines here are 605-4567. Hey, we're streaming at KCNR 1460. You can get out there. When you go to work today and your boss thinks you're there in your government job hammering away, what you're doing really is maybe writing a letter home because it is getting to be Mother's Day, but you can have those little earphones on and be listening to us and when you're giggling and all of a sudden you stand up and go, you're right, Carl, you're right. Who knows? Maybe you'll get a raise. Oh, wait a minute. Those are tax dollars. Still ask for a raise. Who cares? Okay. We also, if you want to send an email to Linda, go to linda@kcnr1460.com. If you send them to me, they have a tendency for some reason to end up in my spam side. And I don't get to them until like the next day because we had some questions for yesterday's Randall Faulkner, who's running for auditor, it got to me late. So I'm sorry that we didn't get those, and I sent back a sorry note. But if you write to Linda, she gets them right away. So, you know, today, and we've got a few minutes before this break, We have distinguished visitors. In fact, two distinguished visitors with us. Jack Turner, who is the California State Commander of the Veterans of Foreign Wars of the United States. Good morning, Jack.
Good morning, sir.
Well, you know what? It's an honor having you here. And just the greatest honor is to have Sue Wells, who is the state president of the Ladies Auxiliary of the Veterans of Foreign Wars.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm great. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, I tell you what, it's a pleasure to have you all here. And we also have Kanan Boswell, who is the district adjutant. Good morning, Kanan.
Morning, Carl.
How are you doing today?
Doing pretty well.
Yeah, I know. Okay. Don't stop leaning back. I'm going to keep you going back and forth. There's kind of like our way of doing Pilates here in the station.
There we go.
And
we have exercise.
At the same time, Bab Bob will move that microphone accidentally, as he does most of the time for our guest. And, of course, Larry Sperlin, who is the past district commander, who's waving at us from the back there because we have limited space here. We only can put like 200, maybe 300 people into the studio. Jack, what are you doing up here today with our veterans?
Well, we come up for the weekend. We're visiting the Reading area, which happens to be our District 20. We have 24 districts throughout the state of California. And Sue and I, as the state president and myself as the state commander, we make visits to them practically throughout the year. And what we do is come up and to visit with the comrades and sisters to let them ask us questions and to ensure that we are taking care of them and doing the things that's best for the Veterans of Foreign Wars as well as for our Ladies Auxiliary. And that's basically we do this, and it's a very busy time, and we get a chance to shake hands with the comrades because a lot of them don't get the opportunity to talk to the leadership when we have our conventions. They're not able to come. So we try to make ourselves available to them. So if they have any particular questions or concerns, we can help them out.
Great. You know, this is what Linda calls the shaky howdy kind. So, you know, we've got just about a minute and a half for the break. But, Sue, the Women's Auxiliary is a major part of this. Maybe people don't realize that.
We are. We're a support group for our veterans. That's our main purpose. We also have many programs, our Americanism program, community service, hospital program. As a matter of fact, today we'll be presenting a check to the clinic, the VA clinic, right here in Reading.
That's wonderful. So, you know, is it a check that it's been collected throughout the whole state of California, or is it
Our ladies, each one of our auxiliaries pay a quota based on their membership. So each member, we have 24,000 members in California, each member gives a portion, and every VA hospital and clinic and veterans home in the state of California will get a portion of this money.
That's wonderful. That's how thoughtful. And, you know, it's veterans supporting veterans. We've got about a few seconds here left. You know, when we come back, I want to talk about the state of the Veterans of Foreign Wars. I realize we probably got an aging population, but then here Kanan is quite young. Did somebody drive you here today?
Yeah. That's part of the deal.
Yeah, this is Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, right here. KCNR 1460, clearly News Talk Radio. Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Our phone lines here are 605-4567. I imagine it's okay with you all out there that it's Cinco de Mayo, that if you wear an American flag, you get sent home from school. Anyway, but we're talking to Jack Turner, who is the commander of the Veterans of Foreign Wars. We're also, our other guests are Sue Wells, who's the state president of Ladies Auxiliary, Kanan Boswell, who's the district adjutant up here, and Larry Sperlin, who is the past district commander. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning. How you doing, Carl?
Hey, you know what? We do good. And, you know, we love to have on our veterans organizations here. That we need to have, you know, more people learn more about them. And this is a great time. We have 30 minutes here that we're going to be asking questions and talking to our Veterans of Foreign Wars, and who's better to ask than the past district commander, our new adjutant, and then the state president, right?
That's true.
Hey, you know, Jack.
State commander.
I'm sorry, state commander. What did I say? What did I say? State president?
State president.
Oh, no, no. State commander.
There, thank you very much. Thank you very much.
It's better to be commander than president. We all know that.
Yes.
Okay, enough of that. All right, Jack, the Veterans of Foreign Wars, how long have they been around?
We were established in 1898, so we're over 100 years old, but I'd like to reach out to the veterans out there who may not know about us to say to them that we're an organization that take care of each other. That's what we're all about, is helping each other, and we have many various ways to do that. We have a service program, so if you need some help with filing for a claim to get some benefits to Veterans Administration, you want to use our service organization. We have them throughout every state in the Union and overseas and places like that as well. But the whole thing is that we want to take care of each other. And we have many organizations that are veterans, but we are the premier organization as the combat veteran, because you must earn the right to belong to the Veterans of Foreign Wars. And, of course, we have Kanan here, who's the Iraq veteran. And these are the type of individuals now that we're looking for, but any veteran can join as long as they've served in harm's way. And so, Kanan, if you would like to add anything about, you know, your service now with the Veterans of Foreign Wars.
Well, I got in a couple of years back, and pretty much it's been a whirlwind since. It's all new to me, very much new to me. So, you know, I got out of service, joined up, and there's so many opportunities to help out other people, other veterans, and that's really our goal. And I've heard it said several times, service, it's not something we do, it's what we do. And I really believe in that, and this is a great organization to carry out what we need to do.
Kanan, what inspired you to join the auxiliary, and how did you, I mean, excuse me.
Yeah, I was in an auxiliary.
That's the female. You know what I mean? So, and how did you hear about it? When you got out, did somebody approach you? And how would you inspire others who have just recently served our country to be involved?
Well, I knew about it, and that was one of our jokes when we hit boots on the ground over there in Iraq was, hey, we qualify for the VFW. That was one of our jokes. And I got back, and it actually took me a little while. I was hesitant to get in there because everybody, for the most part, you know, it's an older generation, and I was I felt like a lone face in there, and ran into Larry, and he kind of took me under his wing and mentored me on up through the ranks. So it's been a great experience for me.
So you would encourage, you know, and what we have now, of course, is with all the veterans we have during the in the last war since with Iraqi Freedom and Enduring Freedom is we have hundreds of thousands of young veterans that have come back. This is a great organization to join.
Could I add in something there?
Sure.
And also, I would like to say, not only this is the male, we want the female veterans as well. They're such a vital part to our organization, and they've earned the right to belong, and we're looking for them as well, because they help us do what we have to do, and that is to take care of each other and to support our veterans. They've earned the rights, they've earned their benefits, and we want to make sure they get them. We also do a lot of things in the local communities. We have like a Voice of Democracy program for our high school students so they can earn a scholarship. The Patriot's Pen program for our grade school students. And we honor the firefighters, the emergency medical technicians, and those types of things. But these are things that we want to spread out into the local communities. We support the Boy Scouts, the Girl Scouts, the Cub Scouts. This is done at a post level. And we have over about 7,500 posts worldwide, and that's what they do. And that's what we're all about, once again, is helping others.
Well, you know, the state of California is in the middle of a huge financial crisis, as we all know. Are they still helping veterans? And they're helping our veterans in other ways, maybe school, programs or anything, or do you see a cutback in that, which makes it so important for our service organizations and our organizations like the VFW stand up more?
Go ahead, Ken.
As it goes with politics, we're focused on basically serving veterans and veterans legislation when it comes to that side of the house. We support the politicians that support us, and usually right across the board, they all support us because it's the right thing to do. So basically, they're trying. I know the state of the economy is kind of in bad shape, but there are we're trying to fill the gaps. That's our goal, is to help out, usually when the government can't help out for veterans. So that's our job, and that's what we focus on. We don't really worry about what the politicians do at my level, on the district level, because it's out of my hands. So we basically just focus on service.
Okay, when we come back, what I was looking at, though, was that, you know, there's programs that the state has that, you know, they've been cutting back on everybody. Do we notice any of the cutbacks on any programs that are for veterans?
No, we have not noticed that, because most of our veterans we fund through the Veterans of Foreign Wars, through our national organization, and through our departments, in which we have 54 departments worldwide. We do honor our legislators, and we do look for legislators that are fully supportive of veterans' issues and benefits and rights. That's what we're all about, is preserving veterans' benefits and rights.
Okay. There.
Yeah, I think most of us know here in the community, as far as the state and funding, next week or the 21st, we're having the groundbreaking for the Veterans Home. And that is a state-funded, basically, with some federal funds, I'm sure. We have the state Veterans Cemetery up here. That was quite a accomplishment, led by the local veteran community up here, all the veterans organizations, and many, many people who were not members of veterans organizations. Put that together. We received that. They'll be breaking ground. We just have to be vigilant and identify the things that we need locally, state, nationally, worldwide, and then all work together to achieve those. And if we do that correctly, I would say we'll be successful getting what we need.
Well, you know, we've got to take a break here. We're going to talk a little bit about that, the veterans community and unity within the veterans community. Hey, this is Carl and Linda Bott. Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, clearly News Talk Radio. Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Phone lines here, 605-4567. You can get to Linda at, you can write to Linda, KCNR1460.com. I can get to Linda by just leaving my socks in different spots around the house. You know, sock here, sock there, and then the elk killer grabs a sock and the chase is on. But that's
our dog.
I digress. Hey, our guest today is the state commander of the Veterans of Foreign Wars, Jack Turner, and Sue Wells, who heads up the state auxiliary for the Veterans of Foreign Wars, the Kenan Boswell, who's the district adjutant from right here in River City and the surrounding area, and then Larry Sperlin, who was the past district commander. And we're really happy that you're here. One of the things we talked about was the growth of the Veterans of Foreign Wars, because God knows we have a lot of new applicants out there with the wars. We've had these serial wars we've been having since 2001, and I can say that because I've been in them. Do we see a growth with the young veterans returning?
We're trying to. This is one of the reasons we do a large recruiting efforts, is to try to get our younger veterans in. We initially can get them in fairly well, but we have a retention problem with them. So we're always looking for new ways to entice them to join and make our post more family-oriented. They're out there, and we're always looking for means and suggestions and recommendations, and that's basically one of the reasons why we visit all the departments around here, too, and come up into the districts, is to find out what they would like to do and what they would like to have and see if we can accommodate them. But the point is we want them in here because we need them in the Wells' numbers, because the stronger we are in the Veterans of Foreign Wars, the more strength we have in lobbying our congressional leaders to ensure that our veterans' benefits rights are preserved and protected, and we're fully supportive of our active duty military.
Okay, Kanan, you're one of our younger veterans coming out of the Iraq conflict. What do you see would be a way to attract people of your age?
Well, District 20, that's our district up here for the VFW. Mm-hmm. We've had some really big pushes for recruiting, of getting younger people in. And basically, we want a hodgepodge. We don't want just young veterans. We don't want just Vietnam.
Yeah.
We want everybody
right.
That qualifies to be in our organization. One of the things that we do up here that hasn't really quite caught on across the state that I'm aware of yet is getting into the National Guards on their drill weekends, going and saying, hey, you guys join up for a year, see how you like it. If you don't, you know, come back, talk to us, and we'll see if we can accommodate you better. But basically, we get out and we go to them. We don't wait for them to come to us, and that's really, I think, the key. We do outreach.
You
to them.
You ever go? You have offices down at the VA clinic, and you know, something like that.
What we have in the VA clinics is some of them is we have what they have service officer. We have a field service officer who will assist any veteran who comes in there, whether you're a member of the Veterans Foreign Wars or the American Legion or whatever the case may be. As long as you're a veteran, we will assist them in filing a claim for their benefits from the Veterans Administration. This is a major service we provide, and it's provided at no cost to the veteran.
And it is a huge thing because there are so many different rules and regulations that people don't even know about, or programs, Larry, that I've noticed, you know, since we've been here. I mean, just one of them that is, it's a huge program that a lot of people still don't know about is being able to get, a stipend every month for people, for veterans or their wives, but veterans that, to keep them at home. And it pays up to like $1,800 a month for assistance to keep that veteran in their home instead of them having to go to an assisted care facility. So you're going out and you're looking for all veterans of foreign wars out there. Something like says in the paper, or it says, hey, we're having a great big barbecue here. Is it kind of like more word of mouth, or is it something that you come on here and we could say, hey, this Saturday, veterans of foreign wars are looking for their fellow warriors?
Yeah, it's a combination of both. We've kind of focused on inroads with the National Guard because whether the community here in Shasta County realizes, there's hundreds of National Guardsmen that have been deployed right out of the local community. We have some programs that will be coming up here probably in the early fall. We're going to have a National Guard appreciation, military reserve appreciation weekend. Invite them all in, feed them for free. The community will be invited to come down and say hello. There have been quite a few of the local members have given their lives for their country, and there has been a multitude here of our local area that have been wounded, have the Purple Heart. We take those guys on a fishing trip every year. We're going to take them on a raft trip down the Trinity here in July. Those things will all be community-oriented. The community will know about it. Those are recreational things we have a good time with. We have a MAP program that Jack could talk about. That's a great program to assist the younger guys that just get home and wind up with their checks not getting to them or things like that, where we can go out and support them, help them out a little bit. So it's just a matter now of us reaching out to people like you and Linda and the local mass communication so we can get this word out and work hard at it because we're willing to sacrifice and get that done.
Well, I tell you what, you've always got a voice here. You always will.
Thank you.
As Larry knows, and I hope Kanan knows here. Before we finish up this segment here, where are you going to be? Any place specific that people can come hear you, and talk to you, Jack?
Yes. Yeah, Larry, please.
Yeah. The we'll be having lunch down at Anderson at the VFW post in Anderson today.
Okay. What time?
That'll be at 12 o'clock.
Okay. 12 o'clock. You can come down and see the state commander.
Yep. He will be at a bring-your-own steak barbecue at the Reading post tonight about 5 o'clock. We will be tentatively, and it's kind of the 90% sure, we will be spending some time with the National Guard up at Whiskeytown Lake today. We've got a surprise for the commander when we get up there. We'll be in Burney tomorrow. It's a district meeting, but after the district meeting, they'll be having lunch at the Burney post. We will be going to the clinic. We will swing by for a photo op at the new veterans home this morning. Like I said, we'll be out the cemetery. It's monument time out there, so we're going to prepare the VFW contribution monument. So it's going to be a busy day for Jack and everybody today.
It sure is. Now, do you have a website that people could just pop onto and say, hey, this is, our district's VFW?
Yes, we do have the website. We have vfw.org, And that is where they can go online and sign up if they want, and they also get a lot more information about the Veterans of Foreign Wars. We also have a California website, vfwca.org. And I encourage everyone to go on and check those out.
Okay, and Kane?
On a local level, we're trying to get on MySpace and Facebook and do all the things that we need to do to catch the younger generation and do the things that they do. We have one established with the MySpace, but it's not hasn't been updated in a little while. But that's one of the things that we're trying to do. We're trying to get an official district.
Are you one of my friends? Come and get on.
I have to get back on
Free
there.
Fire
yeah.
Radio.
We'll
get
do.
On there.
We'll
get
do.
On there. Okay, and Sue.
And you can reach the Ladies Auxiliary through lavfw.org, lavfwca.org.
Okay, well, thank you. Hey, you know, it's been such an honor to have you here, Jack and Sue and Kanan and Larry from Veterans of Foreign Wars. We're, you know, thank you so much for everything that you do for our veterans and our community. And any time that you have anything that you want to talk about, next time you have a drive or anything, I expect you all to be here. And so we can talk about it. We'll put it on our website and everything. But we'll, you know, anything we can do.
Thank you, Carl.
Thank you, thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Hey, we're going to take a quick break here. When we come back, we have a couple people on the line. Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, Clearly News Talk Radio. Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio and KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bot. Let's go to the phones here. Line one, hey, Joe Adamson, you are on KCNR.
Good morning, Carl.
Good morning. How are you, Joe?
Hi, Linda. How you doing?
All right. We are great. We've been working out with you. We've been doing what have we been doing? We've just been there. We've been totally committed to you. So we want our listeners to hear about the fitness.
Yeah, I've left 10 pounds in your gym.
Awesome. Good, glad to hear it. Well, today I just wanted to tell your listeners about another tip, and that is working movements, not muscles. The traditional model of working out, we used to isolate specific muscles and then do exercises that work that muscle in particular. And what we found is that's really not the way that our bodies move in the real world. We use multiple muscles and multiple angles and leverages and so forth to do the movements that we do. And so the model that we're moving towards now is working movements instead of muscles. And a good example, and I think I've seen you guys doing it in the gym, would be like a walking lunge where you're lunging forward across a room, and that would be considered a sagittal plane, a forward-backward plane, while your upper body is twisting from one side to the other, which would be considered a transverse plane. So that's an example of an exercise that's working your upper body, it's working your lower body, but it's also working in two different planes at the same time. So those types of movements, help the body to kind of, well, we also call it a summation of forces, where you're using various forces throughout the joints of the body to create a movement.
It all sounds so scientific, Joe. And here's the reality. The reality is that we want to share with our listeners what it is to just take control. I mean, we have been married just going on 3 years, and we just about ate and drank everything that we just felt like eating and drinking. And we looked at each other when we started this show and the station and went, we need a lot of energy. We need to be strong in our core. What are we going to do? We are the only ones that are in control of this. And so the best place for us is Adamson's, because what Adamson's does is they get into your head, your heart, they explain things to you, like you're talking about, what does the lunge mean? I mean, you kind of break it down, what's happening with you on a physical level, and we'll work a program specifically for you, and the workouts are never the same twice. So
yeah. Yeah, Joe,
we try to mix it up, make it fun, make it interesting, and that's how you're going to get results.
And I tell you, it works for us, and it's worked for so many other people, Joe. And we're going to start a regular, at least once a month, bring you or your nutritionist in or one of your trainers, and we're going to talk about physical training and keeping yourself healthy, because it's a big thing as we age. Also, the summer's coming.
And if we can do it, so can you. I mean,
absolutely.
Really.
Well, we'll be looking forward to that. That'll be fun.
Okay. All right, Joe. You have a great Mother's Day weekend. Take the girls out and enjoy yourself.
Sounds great. Thanks, guys.
Thanks,
you bet.
Yeah.
Okay, right. Let's go to line two here. Victor, good morning.
Good morning, Carl. How are you?
Fine.
Another thing that's happening this weekend is Shop Hop. Tell us about it, Victor.
Well, Shop Hop, well, first of all, before I go into that, I got to tell you something. Next month, I'm going to be married 26 years, Carl.
Yeah.
And you guys have been married 3 years. It makes no difference. 3 years or 26 years, you still can't leave your socks laying around.
Yeah. Oh, you mean I've got a, this is going to be the rest of my life?
Yes.
Rest of your life, yeah.
Of course, if I leave them around too much, that life could be shortened.
Hey, I wanted to thank you guys for having me on the radio yesterday about promoting Shop Hop. It is so nice to have you guys really standing behind local businesses. All 14 of our shops are really thankful to you. And let me tell you, it's going to be a huge event based on the feedback that we've received.
That's
all right,
great.
For those people who don't know about what's happening, we just have a minute left. Victor, give us a quick rundown.
Well, tomorrow from 9 in the morning till 8 p.m., go to any of the 14 member stores, and you can start at any one of them. Get a bag, get go shop to shop, and you'll get a free gift at every store. You will also be able to sample a recipe. If you like the recipe, you can take the recipe card home, make it for yourself. Every store is going to have discounts, door prizes, and then there's a grand prize drawing. If you make it to all 14 stores tomorrow, you will be entered to win a drawing for $280 worth of gift certificates.
And if you're wondering where to go, go to California Decor. That's right across from Deja Vu in the shopping center there, California Decor, and they'll give you a map. Quick website of where people can get the rundown. We have 10 seconds.
Well, you can also go to www.shophopreading.com and download the map there. And we hope to see you all tomorrow.
All right,
hey,
Victor,
thank you so much.
Thanks, you guys.
Hey,
bye-bye.
This is Carl Underbot, KCNR 1460.
This is KCNR Shasta Redding.
Fox News.
Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Hey, I hope you're having a great day. It's 8:06 in the morning. It's a nice sunny day. It's going to be a great day. I think it's 54, and today is supposed to be
high of a 70. 78. Beautiful sunny day, and the weather ahead of us. There might be slight showers on Sunday, but the weather's always brought to you by Ensemble Vineyards, our favorite destination getaway. Now, you know, of course, it's all about celebrating mothers and family time this weekend, but I just want to let you know that I had a flash across my computer about important women's health, and here it goes. Do you have feelings of inadequacy? Do you suffer from shyness? Do you sometimes wish you were more assertive? And do you suffer exhaustion from day-to-day grind? If you answered yes to many of these questions, ask your doctor or pharmacist about martinis. That's right.
Martinis. What does that do for you?
Well, they're the natural way to feel better and more confident about yourself and your actions. Well, they can help you ease you out of your shyness and let you tell the world you're ready and be willing to do just about anything. You'll notice the benefits of martinis almost immediately. And with the regimen of regular doses, you can overcome any obstacles that prevent you from living the life you want to live. I love this. A girlfriend sent this to me. I have to just share with you. This, of course, women who are nursing or pregnant should not be encouraged to try it. But here's some of the side effects: dizziness, nausea, vomiting, loss of motor control, loss of clothing, loss of money, table dancing, headache, dehydration, dry mouth, and the desire to sing karaoke. I just thought we should bring a little smile to you. The warnings are: the consumption of martinis may make you think you're whispering when you're not. The consumption of martinis may cause you to tell your friends over and over that you love them. The consumption of martinis may cause you to think you can sing. The consumption of martinis make you think you can logically converse with members of the opposite sex without spitting. I'm sorry. I just thought, you know, to open your Friday morning at 8 o'clock, that's just a darling thing to kind of share with you about how many people we know that maybe have been in that situation. So,
I've never been in that situation.
Of course not. Of course not.
I tell you what. Okay. Now that you've got... You're just laughing.
We have so many topical things that we're going to be discussing, and of course,
And let's go to that. Let's go to that person right now. Hey, our guest today is Doug LaMalfa, and Doug, Good morning. Welcome to KCNR.
Thanks for having me on. How are you doing?
We're great. How are you?
You know, Linda sets it up by talking about martinis to get everything going there.
Well, I just thought, you know, as people are driving, Doug, you know, things are of such a serious nature right now that it's nice every now and then to have a laugh, because how many people do we know in our world that we move around with that maybe have, you know, had the martini experience? So we're just sharing that this morning. But good morning. We're so glad you've joined us here on KCNR.
Well, you're probably causing people to violate two proposed laws, because laughing and driving, I'm sure, is going to be banned.
Well, you know,
thinking about martinis and driving is probably going to be banned. So.
Well, you know, the idea that there's gin in the or vodka in the state of California will probably be outlawed at some point. So.
No, they need that for taxing. So have to have something to tax to death. So
yeah.
You know, that's the two down there in Sacramento.
Well, you know, we're talking about. I don't know if you've heard the news this morning about. President Obama is thumping his chest about the fact that there were 224,000 jobs. Created last month, but what he neglected to mention that was there 440,000 new jobless claims, and that unemployment has gone up to 9.9% in the United States. What do you think of that?
How many of the new jobs were created by government, and how many of those were for the census?
Well, you know, he said in the private sector, but you know, other news sources said that a lot of them were from the census, because they hired so many. I think they hired over 100,000. To do the census. Yeah.
Well, there's we know the line about statistics, and so I mean, you know, maybe it's up in one column, but probably it's down in another.
Yeah.
Because as long as we push things like AB 32, the Global Warming Solutions Act, and think we're going to create all these green jobs, and we're going to, for every job that's created by government mandating or causing a green job, you lose two or three in the private sector that can no longer operate under such regulation.
Well, we are on the phone with Doug LaMalfa, and we're going to be taking your emails, Linda, at KCNR1460.com. Doug is running for our state senator in District 2, and we're going to be talking about what's happening with you in the race. Questions for Doug. It's currently 51 degrees here on KCNR. It's 8:10 in the morning. We'll see you after these messages.
Make plans.
Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda about our phone lines here, 605-4567. I'm sorry we had a phone problem there and dropped everybody off the lines, but we have our guest, Doug LaMalfa, running for state senator from the 2nd District. Good morning, Doug.
Carl. How you doing?
So, you know what, we're doing good. It's it's a great day. It's a Friday. So you tell us how you're doing. How's the race coming?
Really good, man. The indicators out there are very positive for what we're doing or what our message is. So 32 days ago, so it really doesn't matter if it's Friday or Wednesday. So it's a sprint to the finish here. So I am excited about it, and you know, we've picked up great support all up and down the 12th county.
I think about what it must be like for you, Doug, to campaign, or anybody who's campaigning, and get out there to meet the people and tell them what you stand for, the negatives, the positives. You must be putting in, I mean, this is a time when you probably get very little sleep.
What's that?
Yeah.
No, you know, I get asked by folks that are maybe not so conservative, you know, how do you sleep when you talk about budget cuts or something like that? So that's my little joke about that. Anyway, it is indeed very exciting, and we had a good day in Placer County yesterday with, for example, the Farm Bureau from down there endorsed me, and we had a Nevada County supervisor come on board, and so. You know, we're doing good in the new part of the district, as well as great support where I've already represented.
Well, Doug, we have several emails. We've got calls coming in because, of course, you know, that's what this is all about, having you on and being able to reach out to people who perhaps, you know, haven't had a chance to ask you close and personal. The first question today is, what do you want to accomplish in the state Senate? And the question mark, and why do you think you'll have any more impact in the Senate than you had in the Assembly.
Well, what I think we all need to accomplish, and one area I want to push for, I mean, the first thing we're going to do in order to get California back on track is for the state legislature and the state itself, its budget, to get online, get back in line. It's precluding anything else from really happening in the state when the state is so busy devouring what people produce because it's out of money. It's $20 billion upside down. So a real revamping of the process of what the government should be involved with and what it should be taking in is necessary right from the beginning. Now, that's not anything new. You know, the legislators are down there, at least on one side of the aisle, are looking to move that direction. So it's the eternal fight. But it really precludes having this budget crisis, this mess, where you're redoing the budget every 2 months from moving forward to the types of projects or just having a stable situation with local government, with the schools, with the clinics. So this instability really hurts everybody, and it puts a damper on the possible growth of the economy. Why would anybody invest in California? Why would they hire new people or try to expand their business here when they don't know what's coming along with the next regulation, the next fee? So it's really not that complicated. When we move in a direction that we can balance the budget on its own, then people aren't so in fear of the state throwing its next set of regulations and fees at you.
Well, you know, I saw an article. It was on the from CEOs of over 600 companies who voted California to be 51st in places to do business in the United States. And I say, you know, how can you be 51st? There's only 50 states. Well, they put District of Columbia in front of California for being business friendly.
Well, I thought they're using Obama's 57 states.
No.
We're still ahead of six other mythical state.
Yeah, but, you know, at least, I mean, 51st. I mean, this something has got to change here. We're losing thousands of jobs every year because of the climate. And now they're getting ready to pass a cap and trade here that's going to cost, make electricity go up immediately 20% if it passes.
Well, they kind of got the idea from being emboldened by California doing the global warming bill a couple of years ago, too. It was one of those things done in the middle of the night. So where do I want to take this as senator? Part of what we need to do is have a better set of rules for how the place is governed. I mean, the Assembly and the Senate, there's really no rules there. It's the Wild West. The way bills can be gutted and amended at last minute, bills don't have to go through the committee process. At the whim of the Speaker, at the whim of the simple majority there, the rules are waived, and you don't get to know what's going to happen until the last minute. We're reading bills for 30 seconds and then voting on them on the Assembly floor.
That's ridiculous. That is ridiculous. That is criminal.
So much is done late at night because, oh, the deadline's coming. Like, well, we've had months to hear these bills. If the bill is so attractive, unattractive, that you're afraid to run it through committee, well, we're not going to do it at the last minute. This is not cramming for a college final here.
Yeah.
So we have to establish a stronger set of rules walking in, and that's the day we're sworn in. The rules that govern the House, either the Assembly or the Senate, are made the day we're sworn in, are in place for that 2 years.
Yeah.
And so that would make for a much better process there.
Okay.
But, that's what I'm going to fight for, is a better process. You know, we saw the spectacle of health care being passed on Christmas Eve in the U.S. Senate, and that got a lot of people's attention. Well, it goes on all the time in Sacramento, too, with big pieces of legislation or the state budget done in the dark wee hours.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's go to the phones. Jay, you're online, too, on KCNR. Jay. Hey, Jay, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. How you doing?
Okay, sorry to make you wait, Jay.
No problem. When you look at everything that's going on, it's pretty obvious to those of us in the trenches just trying to make a living, but it's kind of interesting when you look at it, but the politicians just don't seem to be listening at all.
In what way?
Well, I mean, healthcare is a good example, or the fact that they keep hitting us with taxes time and time and again. Rather than doing things that could help us, they keep adding new government jobs, if that's going to really help, when in fact, as Mr. LaMalfa pointed out, it actually costs jobs in the private sector.
It does. And, Doug, do you have a comment on that?
Yeah, if you look at what I'm trying to do as one member of the Assembly, or perhaps one senator should you choose to elect me, it's moving in the direction opposite of what Jay is saying. It's acknowledging and working and knowing that jobs come from the private sector. It comes from ideas you have out there on a new invention, or simply cutting timber, or being able to farm, or being able to do embroidery. And you know, the way the regulators come after those, I got a whole another story about that. Simple things that people can do and be productive on their own.
Come after those.
The government makes it impossible.
Hello?
So it's a regulatory climate has to be one of the things too. That's one of the things I'm fighting for.
Yeah.
Is turning back AB 32.
You guys still there?
Yeah.
Really,
okay, Jay, we're turning that up, but we can hear you fine, and we can hear Doug. I don't know if you probably just can't hear him over the phone there like that.
Okay, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Oh, no, that's okay. Hey, Jay, thanks a lot for your phone call.
Well, if I can make one
before
I go?
Sure.
You were talking about marriage, and, I was taught by my preacher that there's the most important scripture when it comes to marriage is thou shalt not kill.
Hey, Linda, did you hear that?
I absolutely heard that. You know, Jay, and it's so true. You know, you should think about killing with kindness.
Have a great day, guys.
Okay. You too.
Thanks a lot, Jay. Okay, hey, Doug.
Yes, sir.
Okay. We're glad you're still there because, you know, with our phone system, sometimes we cut off one person. We cut off everybody south of Cottonwood. So, anyway,
I can certainly relate to that attitude.
Yeah. Hey, look, we've got to take a break.
We can put the line south of, Yuba City or something maybe. I could be in with you guys.
Okay. Hey, look, we have to take a quick break here. When we come back, I want to talk to you about immigration. I want to talk to you about endorsements and just any number of things that we have from people that have sent us emails to. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, right here on KCNR 1460, clearly News Talk Radio.
Good morning, Reading. Oh, yeah. I know you guys are standing up doing air guitar. You're jumping up and down on the bed going, woohoo, it's Friday.
Yeah.
Currently 54 degrees. Going to be high today of 78. It is gorgeous out. So take advantage of this fabulous Friday. Weather's always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards, our favorite destination getaway. You are listening to KCNR 1460. This is Free Fire Radio. Carl and I are having a great day. We've got so many events. You know, it's going to be the rodeo weekend. We're going to the, what's called the Top Hat Dinner tonight.
Dinner.
Top Hand.
Yeah. Dinner, and then it's just, you know, Mother's Day weekend. You just got everything going this
605-4567. We're taking your calls. Doug LaMalfa is on the line. Also, your emails, Linda at KCNR1460.com.
Doug.
Yes.
If you're elected to the California Senate, you going to introduce any bills on immigration? And if so, what? Illegal immigration, I should say.
You know, we need not just sit and be paralyzed waiting for the federal government to do something. And so what I'm really excited about with everybody stepping forward in the Tea Party movement and people going to the town halls and being so much more involved, I think we have the grassroots support to move the issue now. Much more so. I mean, a lot of people are angry about it, and there's a lot of strange things going on, such as, for example, yesterday, maybe you heard the news bit about some young man in high school wore T-shirts to the school that had the American flag on them, and an administrator in the school decided they need to be sent home for the day because they shouldn't be wearing the American flag on their body there, that it was offensive to some of the other kids at school.
Yeah, we started out with that one. Is that a travesty of justice or what?
It's so stupid. I think it's more of a publicity stunt for whoever that administrator was so they can become a cult hero in certain circles, because it so far defies any kind of common sense or even what the reading of the rules would be for that sort of thing. It's got to be a stunt, but...
So what would you do?
Somebody can even get away with that for more than 5 minutes that's in charge of our schools shows you we have a ways to go on this whole topic.
So what would you do to prevent illegals from coming into our state, or even enjoying the fruits of the labor of the taxpayers of this state in higher education and other things?
Well, you know, California is limited in its legal ability to do much about it. We can enforce our international borders, but because that's the federal government's job, and constitutionally, and I believe strongly in the Constitution. So what I worked on and fought for just a few years ago was an initiative called the California Border Police, and that would be a special force created within the state of California to have folks that deal with nothing but illegal immigration and detaining illegal immigrants that are found and within the state and then turned over to the federal government. And it also goes after those that would illegally employ them. Now, if someone's unknowingly employing them, you know, they have the documents that can show that they received what seems like a legitimate document. You know, you're not going to come down hard on them, but you have plenty that do know what they're doing when they're hiring illegal immigrants. So, you know, it's going after the fire at the source, too, that's a problem. Arizona's moving the ball on the issue. They have, they've seen some positive steps taken in not being the magnet for it. Now everybody's taking shots at the bill. Shoot, you've got the NBA even boycotting certain things and protesting, but they must be doing the right thing because all the politically correct folks are angry over it.
I wonder how many illegal aliens they have playing in the NBA. I mean, I'm just wondering.
I don't think that's the problem.
Maybe they should go back and check. You know, maybe some of those from Czechoslovakia don't have their papers. Okay.
Well, they all love to make their little political statement because it's politically correct for Hollywood.
That's because they're not living in the middle of shootouts every night. And, you know, the thing is, you know, Doug, people are tired. They are tired of what's coming, you know, with the amount of illegal immigration and crime and everything that's happening. And we don't see a huge movement or any movement to make this stop.
You know, in California, we need to be doing that because we're one of the worst magnets anywhere. We have sanctuary cities, so legislation needs to be done to disallow that. Now, is it going to go anywhere in a legislature that's controlled by the Democrats?
No, we know that.
Do you agree with this?
Yeah.
You know,
hey, we've got to take a break here. We're going to a hard stop right here, Doug. As soon as we get back from the news, we'll get right back to you. This is Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Yeah, hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Our phone lines here are 605-4567. Our guest is Doug LaMoffitt, running for the Senate for the 2nd District. And but this portion of the show is brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop. That's right, Cypress Square Barbershop on Athens Avenue, D.C., Tim and the Mysterious Haircutter. What can I say? No hairstyling going on there, just good barbers. Cut your hair the way you want it, great prices. They're going to talk about things that you want to hear about. And, gents, you're not going to find hair gel there. No, nobody's going to want to do your nails or your toes. They want to cut your hair and do a great job at it. And you can see the sign on the window when you walk in, Man's Last Stronghold. Let me tell you what. It's a great place to go. You look at those heads on the wall, and they're like animal heads. No, we're not talking Al-Qaeda. We're talking animal heads here. And you know what? I could go on and on and on about this place. It's Friday. Time to get your haircut. Go down there. You tell Tim DC or the Mysterious Haircutter, the Man in Black, as I like to say. You mentioned Free Fire Radio, and guess what? That's right, absolutely nothing except a great haircut. So,
currently 54 degrees. If you're just tuning in, 8:35 on the haircut rant here.
I love that place.
Hey, our guest today is Doug LaMalfa, who is running for the 2nd District of Senator. And oh my gosh, before we go into what's happening with all of your campaigning, we do have an email that was sent to you regarding some of your positions. It is an email that says, is your longtime aide, well, good morning, Doug.
Good morning.
You're still there? Great. Okay. Is your longtime aide, David Reed, helping you on the Senate campaign? And if so, in what capacity?
No, our staff is some new folks that I've known in other offices, other operations, and David is chief of staff for Assemblyman Nielsen.
Okay. There you go. Great, nice to have people email and then get this answer now because we just have, what, 30, how many days left before the campaign?
32.
I mean, during the election.
You got Congressman Wally Herger's endorsement, Doug. How's that going to help you?
Congressman Herger, he, you know, obviously well known for many, many years around here. So when a member of Congress offers to endorse you, I was highly honored to receive that. He's one of, you know, 300 million people in the country and less than 200 Republican congressmen, and you know, he's a great guy, and I'm honored to have that. So I think it'll be very helpful. And I know there's some folks that are probably thinking a little differently about that, but you know, it's an honor for me, and I will continue forward with my platform as is, and what you see is what you get. And so having the congressman support is huge in this race.
What's one of the first things, I know you talked about, you know, addressing the economy and getting and trying to get the Senate back online, at least working together, and to maybe have kind of correct the legislative process. What are some of the other items you want to work on right away, Doug?
First, again, it's the budget and the economy. Now, those are big, broad subjects, but the economy is governed in large by people's confidence in investing in California. So it comes back to the things I mentioned earlier. A regulatory climate is so negative that no one's going to want to invest here. Up in our part of the state, our resources are a much bigger percentage of what's important to our economy. I've worked very hard on in the area of timber and forestry, regulatory-wise, to try and free that up a little bit, and it just keeps going the other direction. I did get some legislation passed to make it a little simpler for folks with smaller tracts of land to get timber harvest plans and be free from the onerous cost of that, so they actually can manage their lands and do some thinning out there. So that's good for the economy, it's good for forest health, and for fire safety. We need to keep expanding on that role. As well, the for a big other part of the economy is water supply is key. And so in both these areas, what I've done is not just run bills that fail in the first committee, but I've brought legislators up to Northern California, working with our partners in the forest industry as well as in agriculture to show what water supply looks like and the positive benefits of having the storage, of having water that you can release year-round for fish needs, and at the same time you can actually grow some crops. And we showed them what good forest management looks like. That yes, indeed, there are still trees up here. Not every tree has been cut down from here to Oregon. So you start showing people firsthand that are urban legislators that are maybe on the other side of the aisle that haven't been around this, they become a little more comfortable with it. So the result of that is that the speaker finally allowed water storage to be part of a bond. It hasn't happened in 40 years. And one of the Latino caucus legislators from L.A., he ran his own bill on positive timber management. So I think you show people a little at a time that don't know your issues. If they're willing to come look and listen, we can break down some of these barriers, much beyond me just launching a bill and saying, well, I tried. But, you know, I will continue to try, but I think you get a lot more done when you can bring people to your issues and get them to understand that what we're doing is good here.
Uh-huh. Okay, let's go to the phones. Line two, John, you're on KCNR.
Good morning, Carl, Linda.
Morning.
Bob, and Doug, how are you doing this morning?
Good.
Doug, I have a question for you, if you don't mind.
Fire away.
The current oil spill in the Gulf inadvertently has an effect on California politics as well. As we all know, the governor withdrew his support for additional drilling. I'd like to know what your position is on this and if you feel it's kind of a knee-jerk reaction, and should we proceed and will we proceed?
Yeah, it sure looks like for all the ideas of drilling offshore and advancing that, this is going to ruin that cause for the next probably 40 years because of this mess. And so I think before you jump too quick to condemn it for the next 50-100 years, let's see what happened there, where the protocols followed on what would be the safety involved with the system there, and where they followed. If you know, if we can do it in the next project, the next oil field, do it correctly, then we shouldn't just throw the baby out with the bathwater on the deal. There are other ways to do it, where you talk about angle drilling when you can do it from an angle onshore and tap at an angle into reserves that are under the ocean out there too. So we shouldn't just give up on it because we have a very ugly situation going down in the Gulf. But politically, it's going to be really easy for anybody that even raises their head up on the issue to get it cut off because of how bad this is in the Gulf. But I don't think we should give it up because our energy needs need to be determined much more by us, and not just on oil, but we can talk about nuclear power too if you would like.
Hey, you know what? We've run past our break here. John, if you want to hang on, we're going to take a break.
I'm going to go, Carl. I just want to say good luck to Doug and his campaign, and thanks so much for the answer.
All right. Hey John, thanks for the phone call.
Have a great weekend.
Hey, this is Carl and Linda Bott.
Talk to you guys later.
All right. This is Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, right here on KCNR 1460, Clearly News Talk Radio.
Taxpayers are over.
Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. This portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Finest espresso place in the town. It's got the greatest walk-in humidor in the North State. And Joe and Shelley support our community and especially our veterans. Today we are not going to have a town hall there, so if you are going down there at noon, we won't be there. Next week we will be there for a big show. In fact, next week's going to be a huge lineup, but we'll talk about that later. Our guest is Doug LaMaffa, who's running for California State Senator. Welcome back, Doug.
Thank you.
Now, question here is term limits. What do you think about term limits?
And how long do you think, this is according to a listener, how long do you think term limits should be?
Well, that's a question that comes up a lot more these days when they see the places being run by lobbyists and staffers down there, essentially. So I was strongly in favor of term limits when it was originally passed. I voted for it as a voter, and I'm not going to be the one that desires to change it because the last thing I think you need is legislators out there pitching for their own benefits or their own terms to be changed. You saw that with Prop 93 in February of 08, where they put this convoluted deal together to not just change term limits and allow assembly people to be in there twice as long, but they were trying to sell it as less time in the legislature.
Yeah, that was lying to the public, which is what a lot of these initiatives end up being.
Big time. And they had built into that extra terms, even though the Speaker and the President of the Pro Tem, President Pro Tem of the Senate and others would have been already termed out. They added the special additional transitional term, so they were way beyond the limit they were putting in place. We already had a term limit. So I'm not going to be the one that says we should make them longer or anything else. If the people desire that term limits be changed, then it needs to be the people's decision and run the initiative to do so, because I'm tired of legislators appearing and indeed doing things that look so self-serving. I'm trying to restore the faith for whatever I can do in my little area of the people in government so that they will participate more in their government and they will be working with me as a legislator and their next legislators down the line. So if people don't like the term limits, I want them to change it instead of us fooling with it and, again, breaking the faith, people saying, there they go again.
Okay, we got a phone call, and she wanted to ask you this question. Accomplishments last session, especially in gun legislation.
Well, you know, in Sacramento, the gun legislation that usually is brought up is stuff that we have to stop because of the majority down there. They want to burnish their resume with anti-gun and gun control measures. I did get a bill passed to make it where our gun rights are a little more safe, and positive gun legislation doesn't pass very often at all down there. This one would cause that. What you saw in New Orleans post-Katrina was the government seizing guns just arbitrarily from law-abiding citizens there because it was deemed an emergency. We've got to go around and take these guns. So I got a bill through that precludes California and the governor and anybody else making a declaration of some sort of emergency that would be an excuse to seize guns. There's no reason for that. When you're in an emergency, you need that gun right even more than ever because of, whatever might be going on in the Wild West when the lights go out, et cetera.
Yeah, you know, and that surprised me more than anything to hear that the state of California and that's, by the way, is one of our guests that are just sitting here listening to his phone go off. is the fact that California passed it that said that you couldn't take weapons. And
well,
I was so proud of the legislature to do that.
We had to be careful with the way we managed that bill. Sometimes you have to know when to keep your mouth shut. Sometimes you have to sell the other legislators on the right issue, not the gun right, but indeed some of the other effects of that, too. So, you know, I mean, we just found a way to navigate that worked, because it is not a pro-gun atmosphere down there. So we're really proud of that accomplishment, and even the California Rifle and Pistol Association awarded me a Legislator of the Year award for doing that. So I'm proud of that. But the fight is eternal. More and more legislation is introduced every year. They want to now make you register every single type of a gun, not just handguns, but your shotguns and your long guns. And we have to continue to fight that. The bullet situation, where they want to basically make you put a license plate on the back of every bullet so they can trace it later. That's a phony way to fight crime, by picking up bullets that have a number on them at a crime scene. Anybody can plant them there. So a lot of dumb legislation by people looking to simply build a resume for themselves.
Our guest is Doug LaMalfa. I've got to take a quick break here, and Carl and I have some questions on the other side. You're listening to KCNR 1460 Clearly News Talk Radio.
Good old mom.
Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio. It's Carl and Linda Bott. You're in our last segment. You know, our guest is Doug LaMalfa, who is running for, of course, California State Senator. Let me talk a little bit about what's going on. Today on the Dennis Miller Show, Aaron Klein, Jerusalem Bureau Chief for WorldNet Daily, he just wrote a book called The Manchurian President, Barack Obama's Ties to Communist, Socialist, and Other Anti-American Extremists. Will be Dennis's guest, and also Carol Burnett, actress, author, and The Time Together. You know, the thing I like about Dennis is he covers all the gamut. Next week, starting on Monday, we've got Larry Naratelli, who is running for governor. We're going to have him in for a phone interview. Right now we're scheduled to have Russell Hunt, who's running for county clerk. The Corky Harmon, who is running in the 5th District. And a lady by the name of Orlin Tavit, who is running for Secretary of State. But your name may be a little more familiar to you that have heard her as one of the leaders of the birthers movement that don't believe that the President Obama was born in the United States. Okay. Doug.
I have a question for you, Doug, and it's been an email as well. There's about, 30 co-ops up here, medical marijuana dispensaries, as they call them. And, there's been kind of, it seems like there's a little bit of wave of gang violence, so they say, beating of people on the streets. How strongly are you about three strikes? And since we have, as well, and we are having budget cuts, so there's not as many cops on the street, what are you going to do to help with our situation up here in the North State regarding those matters?
Well, past performance kind of determines future performance as well. So during my time in there, we fought against the watering down of three strikes, fought against the watering down of two-thirds vote on budgets and taxes. So, but as in this area here, Prop 66 was a measure a few years ago to water down three strikes, and I got involved on the No on 66 campaign there, and we successfully, working together, everybody jumped on board. We turned that back. And when you're talking about the marijuana co-ops, I mean, this is just another travesty, and it's actually kind of a joke in the way the qualifications of all that work. Local governments are trying to wrestle with how to deal with this, and Prop 215 was one of the most poorly written pieces of legislation and initiative that was passed just barely by the voters, because, you know, some people have some sympathy for those that need treatment for chemo, things like that. That was the guise of it. Well, there's people that are using medical marijuana that have really no basis if you want to justify that type.
We're going to have as a guest a lady who wrote a great letter to the editor that, you know, people are coming up here and they're destroying our North State so they can build their marijuana plantations, and it's impacting on our citizens that live here. I'd love to see our legislature stand up and just say, before you do this, you've got to do environmental impact statements on everybody.
That would be good. Let's do CEQA. Let's do the true impact on that, because it is negative.
It's a business. Why not make them do it too?
When your neighbor is growing it, I mean, there's all these fumes and smells that come from over that, and certainly, as you mentioned, with the gang activity, it's a magnet for them. If they know where it is, you're going to have these wars in the middle of your neighborhood over it.
That's what we are seeing happening.
If California is going to legalize this via an initiative in November, now we've become a bad neighbor for the rest of our neighboring states, because so far it's still illegal at the federal level, and yes, it goes on within illegally, but if California is now this giant marijuana field, the rest of our neighboring states are going to have this issue of much more traffic in one of the lower 48 states.
What's happened to a state that used to be the golden state for business, and it used to be the golden state for people coming, and now we're becoming a laughing stock? We're the worst place in the United States for business. We've got wars going on. I mean, not war wars, but we've got all these battles going on because everybody wants to grow marijuana. Well, because it's a money making cash crop, the largest one maybe in California at this point.
What's happened to the state is that the 60s generation has now taken over it completely at all levels. Pretty much. And so I'm hoping that the next generation X and Y and those as we come along, and the good old folks from that 60s era that are fighting the fight on the front line with the Tea Party movement and with the town halls, those are the folks that we're going to have to get to take it back. And because we, in this state, we attract a certain kind of crowd into government that does not get what the founders had in mind.
Yeah.
You know, limited government and preserving liberty above all else, and instead of the latest idea to take your property, to tax you, to tell you how to live your life at every aspect. So,
Doug LaMalfa, we have just a minute left, and closing thoughts.
Well, for me, this has been a tremendous experience, having served in the Assembly for the 6 years and now running for the 4th Senate District here, which encompasses twice the number of people in several new counties. But I would still get to keep much of my old base here from Siskiyou down to Colusa and Butte County where I live. And I just fight the fight because I want to have something for my kids to come back to when they get out of school, when they get older. You know, my farm here is subject to all the same battles that everybody else in business is, and all the same things my family is subject to that you are subject, with the moral decay and people constantly assaulting what I think we rural people stand for.
Yeah.
And so that's why I want to go fight the fight in Sacramento. It's, I have a very good life here, but I think it's important that we step forward.
Hey,
those
Doug,
of us have the ability to, those have been blessed with the opportunity to do it.
Thank you, Doug.
We've got to run, Doug.
Okay.
Thank you, and good luck on your campaign.
This is
Carl Lindabot. Just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
This is KCNR Shasta Redding.